Well, good morning. And we are going to continue on in 2 Peter. We're in 2 Peter chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me there. Now, how many of you looked at the cover of your bulletin? Did you see the wolf in sheep's clothing? This is our text for this morning. So, it's chapter 2 of 2 Peter, starting with the first verse, and it reads, "But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who brought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they have made up. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them into gloomy dungeons to be held for judgment, He did not spare the ancient world when He brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others. If He condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, and if He rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the filthy lives of lawless men, for that righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his righteous soul by their lawless deeds, and he saw and heard. If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue godly men from trials and to hold the unrighteous for the day of judgment while continuing their punishment. This is especially true for those who follow the corrupt desire of the sinful nature and despise authority. Bold and arrogant, these men are not afraid to slander celestial beings. Yet even angels, although they are stronger and more powerful, do not bring slanderous accusations against such beings in the presence of the Lord. But these men blaspheme in matters they do not understand. They are like brute beasts, creatures of instinct, born only to be caught and destroyed. Like the beasts, they too will perish." Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for Your word, Lord. We thank You that You have warned us, that You have given us the instruction, that You have sounded the alarm, that You've told us there are things we need to watch out for. Lord, as we read Your word today and as I preach Your word, Lord, I ask Your Holy Spirit would be upon me, that I might speak it out in spirit and in truth, that the words I speak wouldn't just be a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Neither would it be something to tickle the ears of those who hear. But instead, Lord, might it be Your word spoken that cuts straight to the marrow like a two-edged sword. May it divide the right from the wrong. May it reveal Your truth in such a way that we can grab hold of it, understand of it, and live by it. Lord, I pray Your anointing upon me as I speak, and I pray that You would touch the ears and minds and hearts of each person who hears, that they might have understanding of Your truth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, false teachers, they're destructive, denying, and doomed. So I got my three D's. I got to be alliterative this week. That's always fun. It's what they teach you in pastoral ministry. You need to be alliterative. You know, you got the three D's here. But false teachers, they are destructive. They are indeed destructive. It's not okay for somebody to teach something false, because when they do that, they destroy things. What are they destroying? First, the thing that they're doing is bringing in the destructive words of heresy. Heresy is a false teaching. They're destroying God's word when they bring a heresy, a or heretical teaching. This is something which says something contrary to God's word. It's in opposition to it. It's calling it a lie, whatever. But they're coming along, these men are coming alongside of new believers, older believers, maybe even non-believers, and they're teaching under the umbrella of being a leader in the church. Heresies, things that are contrary to God's word. And these are destructive. How is it destructive, you say? Well, how about this? If you find out that I lied to you 5 times last month, but you don't know which 5 times, how trustworthy are you going to hold me to be? Are you going to trust anything I say? No. How about if I tell you something which is false and you believe it, you accept it, and then you go out trusting that what I said was false and abide by it only to lead to your own destruction? I said, you know, it's perfectly safe to go out on that ice when it's a half inch thick with a 3/4 ton pickup. Not a problem. Now everybody here who grew up in Minnesota would say, okay, great. The guy's a fool. He doesn't understand. But somebody who has never seen that might not understand that that much ice isn't going to hold it up and would fall through. Heresy is destructive. It's taking God's word, which we should trust, and replacing it with a lie, which is not trustworthy and will fail. And there's people who are doing this intentionally. They're doing it intentionally. Why? Because of their greed. They want power. They want money. They want adoration. They want to be up front. They want God's, that which is rightly God's glory. They want to touch the glory. That's what Satan did. He wanted some of God's glory, and he reached for it. Well, false teachers are doing the same thing. Now, Peter tells us that false teachers were there before and that they're going to be here in the future. False teachers are always going to be around. They're going to bring heresy. They're driven by greed. They're not driven out of love and care and concern for you all. They're doing it for themselves, because they can get something out of it. Anybody ever go to a seminar and you plop down your money to sit down and listen to somebody spill you a load of, you know, the back end of a cow? Oh, I've done it. I went to those real estate seminars. Don and I, we were going to get rich. We were going to buy a property just like that. Oh, man. I remember we didn't have money to do anything, but somehow or other we scraped together like $900 back in 1984 or something like this to do this, because we needed to make something of ourselves. So this was going to be the thing. It was just a scam. It happens in the church. These people are in the church. We need to... Their greed... They don't care. They're going to feed us what we want to hear, the heresies, so that they can fill their pockets, so that they can get the attention. People, these people are in the church, so how do you fight against it? God's word. You take what somebody says and you got to measure it through this thing. If it doesn't sift through here, if it doesn't come out unchanged once you sift it through God's word, what they're preaching and teaching is heresy, people. It's also destructive to the reputation of the church. You can't trust the church. Look what they've done over here. Look what they're doing over there. You got some people spewing heresy here and there. And those who are non-believers are hurt because the reputation of the church is hurt. So we need to be on guard for these people. This is what Peter is telling us. Watch out. Watch out for these people who are destructive. They're going to bring heresy. They do it because of greed, and they will hurt our reputation. You don't think your reputation is important? Try to go out and get a loan without any credit. That's what credit is. It's a reputation. It's your reputation for paying your bills. Go out and try to lead somebody to the Lord with the reputation that you guys are all, all over the board. You can't trust a thing from anybody who's in the church. You're just there. You just want my money. Or you're going to get me under your power and authority, and you're going to abuse me spiritually, physically, sexually, emotionally, whatever. It happens in the church. These wolves in sheep clothing are there for greed, for themselves. And we need to be on guard against them. Peter's warning us, be on guard. These people are also going to deny. They're going to deny the sovereignty of God. They're going to deny everything. Never admit to a thing. I didn't do it. Not my fault. I didn't say that. First thing they'll do is they'll deny the sovereignty of God. We see it in the church today. God's word doesn't mean that. God didn't mean that. You didn't have the right understanding. Let me give you the correct understanding of what God really meant. Or it changed because the world has changed today. Thus we have people in the pulpit standing up and saying, it's perfectly okay to lie to the IRS. It's perfectly okay for a man and a man to get married. No. It's perfectly okay for children to fool around and explore themselves and not get to know their own sexuality. We have people who are teaching these lies because they're not holding the sovereignty of God. They hold that Jesus really isn't Jesus. He's not deity. There's groups out there who will call themselves Christian, but they, if you nail them down, they'll say, no, Jesus isn't God. We need to watch out for this. It's happening today. It happened then. It's happening today. Putting limits. They deny that there's actually limits on men. There's no limit on what you can do. If it feels good for you, it must be right. Are there not people out there who teach this stuff? Some of them are in the church. They deny that there's any shame. Shame is bad. Oh no, if somebody said that made you feel bad, that they were bad. These are all lies from the enemy. They deny God's word. They deny His sovereignty. They deny the deity of Jesus. They deny that there is something to be shameful of. They deny that their own shame, that what they are doing is shameful. They even deny that there's an impending judgment that they are under. Oh no, God has blessed me, if they even use God's name at all. They deny that they have a doom hanging over them. But they are doomed. When Peter lays this out, he says, for if God did not spare the angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them into gloomy dungeons. Now, he's speaking of this as if it had happened past tense, because in God's, it has happened. But the fact of the matter is, we don't see this happen until we get to the end of Revelation. The angels are not tied up in, the fallen angels are not imprisoned in hell yet. If they were, we wouldn't have half the problems that we do. We'd still have plenty of problems because we have our fallen nature. Okay, but what we didn't have is the enemy free and loose to attack in the world. And he is still free and loose to attack. The enemy himself went and tempted Jesus in the desert. So this, which Peter is speaking of as if it has happened, it's as much as it has indeed happened. Okay, in God's eye, it has happened, even though has not yet happened in our timeline. Because the surety that it will happen is such. With that same surety, these wolves in sheep clothing, these false teachers, these heretics, these self-absorbed people who are reaching after God's glory are just as assuredly going to enter the doom. Now, their doom is going to be of biblical proportions. Okay? They're just not going to get a slap on the hand, people. What is their future is the flood, the burning of Sodom and Gomorrah, destruction, wailing and gnashing of teeth for eternity in hell. This is what is in front of them. Just because at this moment that judgment has not yet fallen, just because we can look and we can say, well, they look like they're prospering now, the guillotine of God's judgment is literally hanging over their neck. And we need to see it and understand it. These people, they don't understand. They don't think that they can be touched. Anybody ever met somebody like that? Okay, I was just watching Reds the other night. Anybody ever watch that movie, Red? Retired Extremely Dangerous. You know, you got... what's his name? Dreyfus. I can't remember his first name. Anyhow, Richard Dreyfus. He's sitting in a chair and they got him duct taped and he's, you can't touch me. And they're like, pow. Okay, I guess you can. You know, it's like, you know, you don't kill people. I kill people. I'm the one who orders people. You know, you can't do anything to me. He just can't comprehend somehow in his own reality, even though at the time, he's the one who's a prisoner. You can't touch me. There are people who think that about God. God can't touch me. They're delusional. They are lying to themselves to think that their judgment isn't hanging over their heads. They have no more thought for tomorrow than a wild animal, is what Peter's saying here. Is that they just don't care about eternity. Whereas we, as children of God, need to care about this. We need to keep on watch. Why? Well, because false teachers and prophets, they're out there. They're in our midst. We need to watch for them. We need to protect ourselves from them, from their false teachings, and make sure that we don't become influenced by them, and so that we don't become them. We can be a big one, somebody who fills a stadium, or we can be one who's just teaching in a Sunday school class or writing a post on an online social page. False teaching is false teaching. Your doom is not going to be any less. you don't want to get wrapped up in that. And if you see it, you want to run away from it. You just want to point it out. That is false teaching. Now, a false teacher, 95% of what they might teach could be well and good. When we went to Mike and Michelle Milken and went to their real estate thing, most of what they taught was absolutely right on. It was the part where they took us just that little bit further that was the lie. And therein lies many of the false teachers. Where they just take it, just that extra step. Where they leave behind God's word, where they deny the deity of Christ, where they say, well, isn't it much more reasonable that a loving God would do this instead of this thing that you see in Scripture? You're just misunderstanding Scripture. God has said for over 2,000 years, for over 3,000 years, that it is wrong for a man to lay with a man. Do you think that it's somehow changed because now there's a political movement that says it's okay? The answer is no. That's heresy. It's destructive. It's denying God's word, and it will lead to doom, to judgment. To those who teach it and to those who hear it and follow it. So people, we need to be on guard. If you hear something which does not sift through God's word, you need to then not listen to that teacher. You need to turn away from them. Because they are a false teacher. And you cannot know when the next thing that they're going to teach is. What's going to slip by you? So make sure that the teachers that you sit under and the teaching that you do all in line with God's word. Anything else will lead to utter destruction. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have given us warning. You've told us what to look out for. You've told us through Peter, your servant. You've told us yourself. Jesus, you spoke those words and you told us to be on guard against these who are going to come in. And through the Holy Spirit, you've spoken through many of the prophets over the years. And Lord, there have been false prophets. Just as Balaam was led astray by his greed and desire for the riches of the world. You even spoke there through the mouth of an animal to bring correction. So Lord, we thank you for your word, which is here to bring us correction, to show us what is of you and what isn't. And Lord, might we place our trust here where it belongs, on you and your word. And might we measure all our teachers against it. And Lord, might we measure all that we teach against it too. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.